Hello and welcome to Exiled Eagles. My name's Rob Seltzer, and much like Jairo Riederwald, none of us are playing for Palace this season. Joining me today, the usual mob, we have Dale Quarty. How are you, Dale?
Very confused by your intro. Carry on.
He ain't playing, guaranteed. But,
and of course we're not, so where's the link?
It's just what it is. I've done this for like 2 years. I'm struggling. I've got COVID. You're lucky you get anything. Hopefully, now I'll go to a hopefully more respectful Mark Werner. How are you, mate?
Well, I'm fine. I'm fresh back from gym. Where I can smash it down there. Had a gold session. Spoke to my gym crush for just the second time ever. Come back, freshly showered. I'm up and about, mate. I'm flying.
So you're the guy that gives people, like men, a bad name in the gym of just staring at women as they're doing stuff.
Oh, staring is a fairly strong word. I think occasional glance or would probably cover it.
Does a tongue hang out when you do it?
Stop.
No, it was all right, mate. I just went over, tapped on the shoulder, shoes, knocking shit out the heavy bag, and I just said goodbye. So that was it. Nothing lurchy or weird. Just a smile and a nod, and I jogged on.
Yeah, when you said to me, I wish I was that heavy bag, and then walked on. Yeah. And
pay good money for that sort of treatment.
Exactly. And Ned down in Melbourne. Bring us back to normality, Ned. How are you, mate?
I don't know how to follow that, to be honest. I'm good. Thanks.
Awesome. So here we are. The Exiled Eagles are back for the first pod of the season following our pre-season ramble about fuck knows when that was, don't know or care. So we are six games into the season. We will start off with the first games. So we'll talk about them for now. So I think when we, in the first pod, how many points would we be happy with? I think most of us were around that 5 or 6 mark for the first 5 games of the season. So 6 games in, 6 points. How we feel about it? Let's start with Dale. How are you feeling about how the performances have gone, the results we've got, and the start of the season where we sit at the minute?
I said we'd have 6 points. No one else said 6 points, if I remember correctly, so I'm happy with that. I've got to be honest, it's all been fine, no issue or anything. It just feels very much like a rinse and repeat of last season. Late goals, draws, losing games which we expect to lose. The win against Villa was great. I mean, mainly because it meant I got to text you, Celts, and say that Gerrard's a shit manager, which I've been going on about for a while. That was the highlight. That's been the highlight of the season so far, actually. He's definitely us beating Villa and sticking it to you. The rest of the results, yeah, look, Bournemouth was a little bit disappointing. Man City, when I went to bed, if someone had told me, when I wake up, you're going to lose 4-2 to City, I'd have gone, yeah, whatever, I'll take that. It's fine. Don't put any context around it. You'll take the 4-2 defeat. I watched that and 2-0 up, I was happy. And after 2-1, I put it on 1.5 speed. And 2-2, I put it on 2x speed. And 3-2, I turned it off because I knew it was coming. So, and the rest of it, it's been fine. No complaints. Check Decore. Just want to say, check Decore. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Wow.
He's superb. I'm trying to remember if I said he'd be player of the season or not. If I didn't,
No, you didn't.
Damn, I said as I didn't know. Damn, I thought
he's been amazing too. I mean,
don't get me wrong. Of course he has, but Jack DeCorey's been something else. All right then, Ned. How do you think? I think, Dale, we've got 6 points after 6 games, so we won one more game than we said we were. So we were 5 after 5.
I wanted to footnote that. I didn't want to take
It's not my fault that we decided to pod today and not last week as suggested, and then I would have been wrong. Just so happens that it's now and it's 6 points. So
Yeah. I mean, it also happens to be the question was how many points are we going to get out of our first five games?
I mean,
points are we going to have before we
play next time?
There is that small.
We're podding now. One extra it's game. 6 points, whatever. Carry on.
on a pro rata system, you're still correct, Dale. But
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Right. Sorry, then, how are you feeling about it all?
Yeah, not too bad. It explains why the Sydney Sixers can't get their players registered for the last time. They're getting accounting like Dale's efforts are going on there. But it's. You know, in different start of the season, we've had some very tough fixtures. We've gotten pretty much the results that you would sort of expect. Ish, we picked up a bonus one and dropped one that we thought we might not have. So I think we sort of end up basically where we thought we'd be at this stage. Football's been good. If Dale gets his little moment in the sun, I'll bust out mine. Wilf to have his.
No. I'm going to have to cut this right off. I'm going to cut this right off immediately. Bollocks. If you mention Ivan Toney, I'm going to fucking go bananas.
I'm just going to go with Ned and say I did say Wilf, top goal scorer. And
didn't we all?
Us as well. So, yeah. Ned.
I believe. Ned, I said top everything.
Yeah, I said top everything. Together, we are just the brains, Ned.
Together. Yes. As a team. Let's all just harmoniously. Join together and sing Kumbaya for the next 30 seconds.
And Mark and Bob only like Wilf because of his hair. So we like him for other reasons.
Yeah.
You hate Wilf.
Listen, new season, new me, mate. We've gone through this.
It's bizarre world. Everything's opposite to what it was last season.
Yeah, we're in the upside down, aren't we? Jesus. Yeah.
We are down under. So makes sense.
Yeah. Carry on, Ned.
But I don't know if there's a whole lot to add. I think, in terms of, it's a good, decent start. Could have been better, could have been worse. It was never going to be make or break for the season, given the fixtures that we had. And it's the set of fixtures that are coming up now that'll be interesting to see where we're at. I think we've got we're playing some nice football. We've got the capacity to go out and get some results against the sides that are coming up. So if we can do that, fantastic. And if we can't, we'll all panic when we get back together in about a month and a half.
Yeah, we'll talk about the next couple in a second. Any difference of opinion there, Mark, between what you heard from Dale and Ned?
Oh, not really. I just want to reiterate that I also mentioned that after five games we would have 5 points, which we did. And with five, have six after six. So I guess we can all take a bow there. Wasn't sure where or with whom, a couple of draws and a win, which is exactly how it played out. The win was probably going to come by virtue of Villa or Brentford. Brentford was a heartbreaker at the death there. Sublime goal by Will. I don't remember many goals. I remember him missing against Norwich, I think it was, last season. That's locked in. But that one, I got goosebumps. I was watching on my own here and mouth agape. It was absolutely world class. Alan Abbott scratched off in the fucking 88th minute by an equaliser by old mate just wandering around in the box unmarked and popped it in. So like the City game, and like I think Alex might have written in the other Palace thread, it's the hope that kills you. And that was exactly that, but yeah, I agree with Dale. It's a bit of rinse and repeat, plodding along, not manning up in set pieces as well as what we could, taking leads we're losing, drawing games we're winning, and fairly quiet transfer market window, or certainly from our last pod, nothing, I don't think. Steady as she goes, but I can't help but feel we're not really progressing. I think we're treading water and kind of holding our own. So, it's a bit disappointing to see the likes of Brighton & Co. taking strides ahead of us while we're meandering in SE25.
We'll come to the transfers in a second, right? I wouldn't say we're treading water. I wouldn't. If you look at some of the other, like, Cech Doucouré against Cheikh Okwara, who would you prefer? We've upgraded there. It's a humongous upgrade. Have we made the signings to properly kick on? And as I said, we'll come to this in a second. No, that's the point of the disappointment. I'll give myself a pat on the back. I said 5 points would be fantastic as well. And I'm pretty sure I said I'd bite your hand off for that. So if anyone's got a hand that I could bite off, then please feel free, because
you
did it.
You can't come near anyone, mate. You got COVID.
You wouldn't be able to
taste the fucking thing anyway. Exactly. just give me a piece of bread again. That's what I've been eating. Just like bread. I think the football's been good. I thought, apart from, I think Saturday was pretty disappointing. Some of the football we tried to play. I couldn't really watch the Brentford game. I watched a 25-minute thing because for some reason in Singapore, the Optus, even on my VPN, the Optus, the full game wouldn't work. So I woke up early to watch the 25-minute highlights. That was brilliant. But from those highlights, as I said in the chat, the 25 minutes highlights was basically us attacking for the first, for 15, 16 minutes of it. And then Brentford came into it. That's why I said it looked like we battered them. Full disclosure, I didn't know that. I was just going on what I saw. City, like my son, watch the City game with me and we're 2-0. I was like, oh, we're going to win. I'm like, just careful now. And then...
that was his fault.
No.
It's his fault.
Oh, absolutely. I'm happy to blame him. And then when they scored the third, he wanted to turn it off. I'm like, no. This is what you...
Watch this.
You have years and years of this heartbreak ahead of you. So
exactly. Why put him through it now? At least let him enjoy his childhood.
No, exactly. He can't believe that everyone's brilliant. We just beat City. No. He sits there and he watches us go from 2-0 up to 4-2 down. That is what happens. Then the rules. I think we'll win more games than we'll lose this season. I'm still fairly confident in my prediction of about eighth, I think. Eighth, ninth. Something like that. I'm still pretty confident. So Mark touched on it. The transfer window has been and gone. Ooh. We didn't get in. I think we're probably short in a couple of places. I think we're short up front. I think we're short of a midfielder.
I think quite tall, in fairness.
But a bum chish. Then I think that showed massively on Saturday, because I just think the game bypassed Jeff Schlupp completely. And you had Doucouré doing two people's work because there's no one else to do that. And then you had Eze trying to pick up the pieces where Schlupp was just kind of a bit non-existent. Not saying he's been good this season. So I think another central midfielder would have been there. We know the central midfielder we all wanted. And obviously today's news might change what happens in January, because there's going to be a new manager in at Chelsea. Hopefully it's Graham Potter. Brighton implode and they go down. Wonderful. Wonderful. But
you could also guarantee that Graham Potter will get the best out of Conor Gallagher 100%. And he went down to Palace. So,
100%.
Yeah. And 100%. The last thing we'll say about Graham Potter is, if he's got half a brain, he won't touch that with yours, Mark's, Ned's, or mine.
Money talks in Champions League football this season.
Yeah, he's not, mate. Sometimes you don't need the stress.
You don't become a football manager for an easy living, do you?
He might not want the stress, Dale, but he definitely be quite happy with the extra millions of pounds in his
pocket.
When
he gets sacked.
Yeah, exactly. Three months' work, 20 million
anyway,
in the pocket.
I don't want to talk about him anymore. I don't want to talk about him.
Almighty Dale has spoken. We shall move on.
Yep.
So let's go to start with Ned. Palace's transfer window. So we brought in Sam Johnson on a free, Malcolm on a free, Chris Richards 10 mil, Cheick Doucouré was about 17 mil.
I got it in front of me, 18. Keep going. 18. Next.
Jesus Christ, someone's on one today, isn't they? Anyway, Luke Plange obviously as well came in too. What's your thoughts on the window as a whole? Do you think, were we short? What else would you like to have seen? Are you happy with what we got in?
I read a great post to go down Rob's usual rabbit hole. It wasn't on Twitter, but it was on social media. Post about our fans who, every other season, why don't we get our business done early in the transfer window?
I can't
believe we don't get it done early. This season, we do our business early, gets to the last day. Why aren't we buying anyone in the last day of the window? Why can't we sort ourselves out? You can't win. I think if you look at our squad, it is mean, obviously we've lost Gallagher, but I think our squad is stronger now than it was at this time last year. So, I mean, is it the best possible window? Well, you know, Erling Haaland went to Manchester City, so unfortunately we didn't quite manage to pick up the best striker that was available. But we're in a better spot than we were. It was a perfectly adequate window. It wasn't terrible, wasn't superb. But I think it's just a case of everyone's just forgotten that we did most of our business early, which is what we've been crying out for years. And just sort of we're expecting the late panic buy because it's what we always do. And then when it didn't come, assume that we've done nothing in the window, which is not quite true. So, yeah, look, I think it's in a perfectly adequate window. We'll be fine.
What would you rate it out of 10?
Seven.
Okay. What about you, Marky Mark? How do you feel about it?
Yeah, we did obviously get some business done early. No last day panic shenanigans run around who's available. That sort of thing. I think we obviously missed some targets made known. But we missed a couple. We got some inside track late mail that we're going to get Gallagher over the line, but there was someone else from Juve or someone didn't work out. Anyway, the domino pieces ahead of that happening didn't play out, so we missed out on there. The business we did do, I think, is fine and canny. Typical Palace business. We didn't sign anyone for the sake of signing them. I don't think we necessarily paid overs for anybody. I think we got some good value there. Big Mal looks a treat. He's going to come on. Richards, I will say, and I know we haven't seen much of him, I've just got a question mark over him, mainly because I predicted he'd be the worst player of the season, so I'm quietly praying that he just fucking does one. And I can lord it over all of you at season's end. Doucouré, great, obviously. Main concern is, for me personally, is Jaroslav Jark, who we've offloaded to Zagłębie Lubin, world powerhouse, Polish club from memory. He went there on a free. So, fuck knows what we're going to do now. Wait for the next window, 13 games away, which is probably in our favour. I think we're a little bit short having the midfield. Wouldn't kill us to get... you know, another right back. Sorry, which position does Ferguson play if and when he ever plays?
Anywhere across the back three.
Okay. So, yeah, although, you know, we've got Evergreen, Joel Ward and Nathaniel there, probably someone under 35 to come in for that position. And, you know, with Mitchell having some injury worries, that position is a little exposed. So, look, a bit of tweaking that could have been done. Was it a bad window? No. Was it panicky or ridiculous? No. You know, we're fucking whingy, aren't we? You always want more. So, yeah. If you're going to ask me what I'd give it out of 10, I thought Ned was a bit strong with 7, but I'd give it a solid 6.5.
Fair enough. That's fair. What about you, Dale?
Right. So I've got a big concern at left back. There's no competition, and I think Mitchell's. I think he, granted, Man City. I think he got really badly exposed against Man City. Really bad. I mean, that was the worst game I think I've seen him play. Right, and I think part of the issue is there's just no competition for him, and he's going to have to play every game, regardless of how fit he is. And yet Joel Ward will go across when he's not available and play left back, and he'll do a fine job. He'll do an okay job, but that's not the future for us. I think we need another left back. And I know Adra Molo is back from Coventry, so we'll see if he's the player to step up. If not, we're definitely short there. Look, love Joel Ward, love Nathaniel Klein.
For a club, careful what you're about to say.
No, I think
it's clear on Joel Ward.
For a club to have their 10th year in the division and still have the same right back,
just shows what a good right back he is.
I know we had AWB, but you know, eyebrows raised, and Bringing back Nathaniel Klein, yes, again, was fine. The future is not in those two. That's what I'm saying. And I think if Richards is going to be, if Richards was someone who can play right back and they thought he was going to play right back, he would have played there already. The fact that he hasn't, when we probably needed him to, says it all. And we switched to back five. Midfield for me, yeah, Cheick Doucouré, absolutely brilliant. Like, he's been superb. But we say we're stronger in midfield. We have lost Gallagher. We've lost Cheick Doucouré. There's no Jimmy Mack. Luca is falling off a cliff. And for some reason, Will Hughes doesn't play for us anymore. So we're not stronger in midfield. We effectively have a three-man midfield, and that is it. And if one of them goes down, and you're telling me that Luca's going to come back in and start, then we are in real trouble, right? And I appreciate the window's only a little way away. Eze coming back, brilliant. Elise back from injury. We're waiting to see. Hopefully he can recapture some of the form. Wilf has been great. Mateta and Edouard, mate, they're either going to score, they're going to knock 10 in with their arse, and that's about it, right? You can't rely on them. I would have rather seen us stick Wilf up front and get another winger in, because another experienced winger in, because I just feel we just look a bit light. They're just in play, like across the pitch, I think we look light. I think we'll see how good our transfer business has been next season. So when we stay up, because obviously we're going to stay up and finish eighth, and Johnson's the first choice goalkeeper because Guaita will probably head off back to Spain, then we'll see how good a piece of business that was. When Malcolm Ebowobi is playing regularly, we'll see how, if he comes through and he makes it, we'll see. Was that a good signing? Yes. Then I think we'll start to be able to. I think I'm not sure you can necessarily judge this transfer window on the here and now, although you can say, I think you can definitely say we are short in a couple of areas. And further to that, I don't know what to make of Southampton. They are a really weird team, really odd. But they picked up a couple of players, which I was quite surprised we didn't necessarily get with our connections. So, is it Romain Lavia? Is that how you pronounce his name, I think? Came from Man City, came through the youth team there, 18 years old, looks absolutely quality. You'd have thought Vieira would have had a bit of inside track on him. And there's another lad from City I haven't really seen, I don't know. But if those are some of the players, I feel it would be nice for us to be able to chuck him in there and see how they go. He's obviously ready. And for me, I think the window was okay. I don't think it was good. It definitely wasn't bad. I am going to give it the middle of the road 5 out of 10. Because I personally do not think that squad is any stronger than it was last season.
Do you think it's any weaker though?
I think it is a little bit weaker because just in sheer weight of numbers. Just sheer weight of numbers. Like we haven't gotten the bodies.
What numbers have we lost?
So... Gallagher and Kiarte, so that's two gone, but we brought one in to replace them.
We brought Doucouré in, and Eze's now fit again.
Eze still played last year.
First half of the season.
He didn't play the first half of the season. He didn't, but he was still there. Like, second half of the season, he certainly did. And it wasn't like he came in and suddenly Cheick Doucouré disappeared. Like, they were all still there. Right, and I appreciate that Eze is better this season than he was last season. I do appreciate that. But the point, just in sheer weight of numbers, we are less. I just don't think it's stronger. Benteke's gone. We haven't brought in a replacement for him. And I know people go, oh, but it's Benteke. He didn't do anything. I was thinking about this the other day. He, start of last season, he was looking like the old Benteke again, looking good. He must have gone into Vieira's office and said and banged his missus in front of him, but he suddenly just discarded him. I think it was the Burnley game.
I think he got COVID. I think he got long COVID. Didn't properly recover.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it was more a case of he got injured and Mateta went in and scored a goal, and Vieira seemed to be with his strikers. Vieira seems to be with his strikers. If you go in and you score a goal, you get to keep playing until you're injured.
Yeah. All right, whatever. But then Benteke's gone, not being replaced. I don't know.
Jack, I mentioned also.
Yeah, Jack's gone. You know, I don't think, like, I'm not, and this is not me turning around and saying, oh, we're going to get relegated. This is me saying, I just don't think we're as strong as we were last season. But that's all. Sorry. I don't think we're any stronger than we were last season. I don't think we're necessarily any worse, because our best 11 on the pitch is very good. But I think, to Rob's point, if he's talking about Jeff Schlupp, as good as Jeff Schlupp has played this season, will they have Jeff Schlupp at his best this season, or Conor Gallagher from last season when he was at his best, or even when he was at his not so best? I'm taking Conor Gallagher, and we haven't replaced that. For example,
was that 5 out of 10, mate? Did I hear your rating for the window?
I'd agree with bits of everyone's, really. That I think the left
sitter can just splinters out of your ass, fucking
nah. Hell. The left back, I just don't think we've learned from previous mistakes, right? So we were all complaining that PVA had to play week in, week out because we had no one at left back. So he had to play. And even when he was dog shit, he knew he'd walk into the team next week. I'm not saying Mitchell's like that, but Mitchell has no competition. Dale's right. We have no one else there. We haven't put that person in. And you can see, like, Mitchell's been struggling last couple of weeks with an injury. So the chances are it's going to get Klein, he's going to go to left back, Wardy will stick it right back, is my guess. So we're missing, I think we're light there. I've already said, I think we're one light in midfield. I think with the Will Hughes thing, from what I read on Twitter with Carl, the guy that knows this shit, he said Will Hughes was ill for the Brentford game, so that's why he was on the bench. And he was just on the bench as a body for City if desperate. I don't think he was fully recovered, so I dare say you're going to see a bit more of Will Hughes anyway. The strikers are a problem. Strikers are a big problem, I think. I thought Bateza was, personally, I thought he was god-awful on Saturday. There's a couple of times where we're breaking through and you just want him to bust his gut to get in the box. He just jogs. Right? And then, like, he was an option. Like, he came back and did some defensive work. Great. But, like, we want that striker that wants to bust in, like, to get into a box to score, and he wasn't doing that. So I think we are a striker like too.
I think with strikers, just put Wilf up top. We've got 100%
Yeah, I agree. We should do that. I mean, even swap Wilf and Edouard. Edouard's best performances have been from out wide.
Yeah, out wide we can play Edouard, we can play Ayew, we can play Elise, we can play Eboué, we can play anyone we want out there.
So if you look at, and as Dale said, I think our squad is almost potentially stronger with the players we've brought in. With Richards, Eboué, Johnston, I'd say they're kind of squad players this season. So we've brought in squad players. We haven't. Decore is the only one that's taken it up a notch with the first team. Gallagher would have been the other one, and potentially if we've got a striker in. I dare say we've got one season left of Michael Elise. He's going to go for his buyout clause next year. So I'd like to see Vieira use him as much as possible this year. I get, obviously, he's been injured, so they probably didn't want to play him on Monday, not Tuesday, whenever it was, and Saturday again. But I think we need to use him as much as possible this season. Because I don't think he'll be around next season, nor will Wolf. And so it'll be interesting to see what we do with that money.
Or Gurhey, according to you as well. Gurhey's going as well.
I didn't say he's going. I'm just saying him, as they're all assets, Mitchell, they're all assets that people
said,
will want.
You said for the last season or so that Elise and Gurhey will not be there next season. They're going for,
I said Elise,
they're going for 75 million for the pair of them.
Go back and listen. I said Elise won't be back next season. Gurhey could go. I don't think he will.
75 million for the pair of them, is what you said.
Well, if we get a penny less, we know who to abuse.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
See, I will stick by my 75 million for Mike Gahey. I think we'll get that money for him. There's no release clause. He's young. He's English. He's got 4 years left on his contract. If someone wants him in the summer, we're under no pressure to sell. It's going to be a huge amount of money. Like, a monster amount of money. How much did... So, I'd be confident in that. I'd give us a solid 5.5 out of 10. If we'd got that one extra midfielder, it probably jumped up to a 7. If we'd got, like, the Conor Gallagher that we wanted, or a striker, would have been that, would have taken us up to that seven. So there's work to do there. Jimmy Mack, for us, we're crying out for Jimmy Mack, but he's nowhere near it. And Nathan
Ferguson. Before I say it again, Jimmy Mack, love him to pieces. But if our hopes are relying on a 35-year-old centre midfielder, we're in a lot of trouble.
And unfortunately, it looks like all your predictions about Nathan Ferguson are wrong. He will not hit full 30 games this season. So that's that one in the bin.
Yeah, quickly, Rob, on the so the Hughes thing, you think has been a fitness or injury issue? Because everything I see of the guy, I'm just like, oh, I just want more of that every game. And then rolls around and we see him for 7.5 minutes, 13 minutes maybe.
Yeah, there's obviously something there, right? He obviously, other viewer really likes Jeff Schlupp, really likes what he offers. Like, Hughes isn't a player that's going to drive with the ball. Eze will drive with the ball. Schlupp, if he wants to, drives with the ball. Hughes is like a get the ball, move it, get and move the ball type player. I mean, I'd have him over Jeff Schlupp, to be honest with you, and bring Schlupp on players are tired. But I'm not a Premier League manager yet. my application is in at Chelsea Football Club. So I'm just waiting to find out from them. Okay, moving on. So work to be done in the transfer window, I think. And the other thing is, as Dale said, we've only got a few games left and then it's going to be a big old break and then the window's open again because of the World Cup that I've got no interest in watching, which will be fun. Right, next games. We are playing an on-form Man United, a fairly on-form Brighton, a Chelsea with a new manager bounce. Then we've got Leeds and Leicester. That's the next five. So, United at home, Brighton away, Chelsea at home, Leeds at home, Leicester away. From those games, those five games, fellas, let's go to, let's start at Mark. Predictions, points.
Yeah, Rowan Trum, me and you, who were the laughing stock initially at the start of the season, are up and are running, which is unfortunate because it would have been far better to beat them while they were in the relegation zone, obviously. So they're up and about. Did you say that's home or away, Rob?
So we are home to them. It's a Monday morning, 1:30 a.m. for us.
Sunday. Of course it is. Yeah, this coming Monday. So I'm going to stay off the phone and watch that Monday night when I get home. So you won't hear from me on the WhatsApp threads during the day. Could be anything. I'll take a draw, one all draw at this point with their form and ours. If we can kind of meet in the middle, they might think they're Johnny Big Bollocks and think they're just going to come and have three at our place and, you know, we might have something to say about it. Brighton. But for the sake of being antagonistic, I reckon they might give us a spanking. Like 3-1 or something like that. Love it not to be the case. I think it's the first time since they've come up that this game hasn't been rescheduled to 5 a.m. Tuesday morning, is it not?
It is. You know, it's a Saturday 3 o'clock kickoff. But from what I've read on Twitter, there's a train strike and there's an open date at the unit that's across from the Amex. So I think Brighton, as of yesterday, have put in to try and get the game moved.
I don't recall ever watching them. You know, we obviously get out at midnight on a Saturday night to watch these, unless it's the early game. I don't recall one against Brighton every fucking time. Oh, yeah, Monday night, which is Tuesday 5:30 our time. So I think their form might continue, and I think we might get found out there. Obviously, we won't have Benteke Heroics in the 92nd minute again, because he's busy missing penalties for DC United. Chelsea at home. Back us there for... We're due for something out of them. Haven't they beaten us like the last 9 or 10 on the bounce, I think, from memory? So I think just by numbers game, we're probably due something out of that. Take a point there. Leeds, I'm hoping we can avenge the result in Perth and absolutely towel them up. I don't care who or how or why, but yeah, so if we wrap that up and look, Leicester on their knees at the moment, so hopefully we can cash in on that. It's a little bit down the road and they might sort the shit out between now and then, but those last two leads Leicester, I reckon, are gagging for 6 points as it stands. So, I think 7 points out the next five games would be a good result and going forward somewhat.
Yeah, okay. What about you, Ned?
So, going through them, I think United have been on form, but United have been on form against some of the top teams because they have got a counter-attacking style that works very well for them against those top teams. When they've played against the lower teams, they've struggled to break through a little bit. And so it's having a little bit of that cutting edge. So there's definitely a point for the taking there, I think. The following week, Brighton will be in disarray with Graham Potter having just gone to Chelsea. So they'll fall apart just right on time for us to pick up the 3 points there. We'll then head off to Chelsea, who won't quite have adapted to Graham Potter's new style the following week, which is going to be timed perfectly. So we'll snatch a point there. On to Leeds, who could be anything. That'll just be a 9-goal thriller, who knows which way. And then on to Leicester, who unfortunately will be on the new manager bounce after Brendan Rodgers has just been sacked. And will win their first game in about 6 weeks, 1-0 against us, despite us having 79 shots on target. Off target. 78 of them from Wilf, who will put in his worst performance of the season. So that leaves us with what? One against United, three against Brighton, another one against Chelsea, plus potentially one against Leeds, whatever that adds up to.
Five.
Sure. I think it's, yeah. Sure, go for it.
What's confidence?
I'm going to take the Dale approach and just go with whatever we end up with next pod. I'm going to say that I have that.
Why pick
now when you can have the benefit of hindsight? You guys are all idiots trying to predict it in advance.
You're learning, Ned. You're learning.
I tell you what, that doesn't work for the lottery because I always do that. I pick last week's numbers. Never, well, ever mate, pay out.
There has been a case, I think once, I can't remember where it was in the world years ago, the same numbers came out 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. It was a Hungarian lottery.
Is it Hungarian? There you go.
I can say.
Go on. Now, what's your thoughts about those five?
I'm shitting myself. I'm absolutely crapping myself that we can walk away with that from that with pretty much bugger all. I think Ten Hag has got that United team absolutely purring now, and they've got a few weapons that worry me. And like, they have a proper ball player in Eriksen, who, you know, I just, someone who pulls strings, and I look at them with Anthony and Rashford and a few others, like just the pace. I just feel we're awful against pace. We just look at the back. We just seem to get ourselves exposed. So I'm worried about them. Brighton, yeah, look, we've got to hope Potter's gone, because the only thing about that, which is on our side, is a derby match. Because if you're going to do it on form and how teams are playing, they're going to give us a hiding. But it's a derby match and Wilf will get them up for it. Chelsea, we don't get anything out of them. Leeds, I don't know what it is about Leeds. I watch them occasionally and I just think to myself, they're god-awful. But then I watch them another times and I think, wow, they just look, they're brilliant. And I don't know what to make of them. And Leicester about Harry Maguire. Well, we can't beat a team without Harry Maguire. So, I don't know. If Leicester are on an awful run, if there's one team they play who will just let them back into it and play well, it's Palace. We see it all the time.
Yep.
We see it all the time. Teams, to be honest, haven't won in 75 million years. Oh, they've beaten Palace 1-0. Like, we just see it. And I don't know. It's just, I'm just worried for it. I think this next five games will tell us a lot about our season. I think we can either be sitting comfortably in mid-table and not have to worry about it, or we struggle and we start looking over our shoulders like Mark's doing on cue. So, be interesting to see what happens.
I mean, the next three are stinkers. United, just as they hit a run of form, Brighton, who are playing really well, as much as it pains me, but if they do lose Potter, they're in a lot of trouble. And Chelsea's Chelsea.
Are they in a lot of trouble? We just said in the WhatsApp group the other day, they always seem to make good decisions. They've probably got another manager lined up who's going to come in and be absolutely superb.
I think the thing is that they always make good decisions because the bloke who's at the top is helping their football department is making good footballing decisions. If you take the head off the snake.
He's
got a Newcastle, isn't he?
Well, that was Ashworth. Yeah, he's gone to Newcastle. But I'm not sure who replaced him. But, you know, they seem to be going all right. They picked up a few gems in the transfer market. And anyway, yeah.
But did they have that? I'm not denying they have. But they've also spent a lot of money on absolute shite that we're not a Brighton podcast, so we don't speak about. So, like...
Benteke, Mateta...
Benteke, I think Benteke wasn't shite that first season.
He wasn't, but it turned out to be awful.
It turned out to be, but
17 goals in the first go round.
I mean, yeah.
If Sam Allardyce,
I bought a
stayed,
Ferrari, it was really good for a year, and it just blew up. Oh well, it's still really good.
I think we all know that if Allardyce had stayed, Benteke would have got 15 goals a season. It's a pretty much guarantee. But anyway, we're not a Brighton podcast, so I give a shit. But I do think they'll be in trouble if Potter leaves. Chelsea. The league's been weird this year. The league's been really weird. Like, Brighton were flying, then they go to Fulham and lose 2-1. And Nottingham Forest, Bournemouth get spanked by Liverpool. They lose 9-0, atrocious. And then they go 2-0 down White Forest and come back and win 3-2 in the second half.
They're above us.
Yeah, well, they've beaten Villa and Forest.
Oh.
That's the biggest unknown, I reckon, out of the next five leagues. Could be anything.
It's really like the league is weird this year, and with that World Cup gap in the middle, like a team could have tons of momentum, World Cup hits, and they lose the whole thing. Or a team could be awful, the World Cup hits, and then they come back and they're rocking and rolling. So yeah, I don't want to make it. I mean, if you offer me another 5 or 6 points out of that, I'll take it straight away.
Well, 7 happy. According to me, so you can be rest assured.
If you offer me anywhere between 4 and 15 points, I'll take it. And in the next pod, I'll say that's exactly the amount of points that I said. So that's what I'll do. But it's after that, I reckon we've got to get some points. And you've got Wolves, Everton, Southampton, West Ham, Forest. And then Forest is the last game before the World Cup. So we need some momentum going to them. But we'll see. I think we'll pick up enough before that, and then we'll be going all right. And I don't see us in troubling like the bottom six. We'll be nowhere near that. So that's my predictions. So,
well, if we play Forest, was that the last game before the World Cup in November, Rob?
Well,
knowing our luck, their 21 players would have bedded in by then and might give us a hard time.
Well, if they're playing 21 players, that means they've played 10 too many, so they're going to lose the points, aren't they? Cheating bastards.
Kind of.
Cheating bastards.
Anyway.
Well, and we can move on to Aussie stuff. But before we do that, Ned, I saw your mate, old Riley McGree, score, didn't he?
Okay. Yes. Banging him for Middlesbrough, I believe he's at these days. Just trying to work his way up. He turned down Ange Postecoglou, wanted him at Celtic, and he said, no, I'll go to Middlesbrough. Thought he'd try and get himself into the Premier League the quick way last year. Didn't quite work out through the playoffs, but no, he's coming along reasonably nicely. But I think the main one for Aussie stuff is we've got ourselves a new Aussie at Palace, coming across from Melbourne Victory, Polly Doran, into the Palace women's team, which is always good to see another Aussie wander over that way. But yeah, I'll let Mark do any other Aussie stuff that he's got, because I haven't got a whole lot else.
Let it, mate. You're out, are you?
I'll probably think of something as you said it, and then I can assist you with continuing. Okay. I'll let you have it.
Well, you've got the floor. You don't blow your own trumpet and lord your results from your coaching escapade this season just gone. How'd you get on?
my personal results.
Nah. Well, your team that has a budget of 600,000 or whatever you text me.
No, that wasn't my team that had the budget. That was everyone else.
Oh, okay.
My team was sitting there with bugger all. Mid-table, fifth.
Mid-table. No worries.
My team were minor premiers, mate, after getting regraded up.
It's delightful for you, Dale.
And then we proceeded to absolutely throw it away in the finals. Anyway, there you go. It's amazing what an ACL injury to your best player will do. So
my team finished second bottom. My team finished second bottom. So
that's progress. That's progress, isn't it?
Yeah, bottom last season. Rocking and rolling there.
That's all right. On the way up.
Just before you jump into Aussie stuff, I just want to give a big shout out to a signing announced the other day. This isn't Aussie, so I want to get it in there now. Ikechi Eze.
Brother
of Eberechi Eze. I think was in Turkey or somewhere random, and he's gone to Stranraer in Scotland. So
I believe he's in Bulgaria.
Bulgaria, that's it. So I will now be keeping a very close eye on Stranraer.
There we go. Well, maybe next pod we can have some Bulgarian chat, which will be riveting, I'm sure, for all the viewers at home. Bit of Aussie chat. Probably start local here in Brisbane Roar. My little team here that go around reached their first Australian Cup or FFA Cup semi-final this Sunday against, I think, United 58, some team I never heard of. So we might be able to lord over them and make our first final, which would be pretty exciting. Obviously, it's out of season at the moment, so the boys are just getting together and having a kick about. Charlie Austin with some fantastic shithousery in the last game. Penalty shootout.
So good.
There was, 126 loyal supporters of, I don't even know who it was, Oakley or Avondale or someone like that, in the driving rain. God awful. And, Charlie Austin bangs one in and let him know that he did so. So that was quite amusing. Seems to be going all right, obviously, and so he should be coming out and playing for a team of the quality of Brisbane Roar. Should be absolutely braining it. So that's something to look forward to this Sunday, I think, on 10 play. If anyone wants to watch, I will be. The Matildas is fresh off the back of a two-match tour by Kanata, which we were pretty poor in the first game that I went to attend at Suncorp. We lost 1-0. Then we lost the next leg, I think, in Newcastle last night. 2-1 after going up one goal. And
Can I just say on that? Rose, 21 for Canada. I've got a few Canadian friends, so I used to coach and stuff, and they were raving about her. And I think that is men's or women's one of the best performances I've seen in a long time. She was magnificent at centre back. And I think she's only 18. And I think Sam Kerr might just be finding her way out of her pocket.
She stood Kerr up on more than one occasion there. Mm. So, bit of heartbreak there. So, funny story not that funny, but I'll tell it anyway. when we were down in Melbourne for the tour, tickets went on sale because they were doing doubles for the Matildas game up here at Suncorp, and then the Socceroos play New Zealand on the 22nd. So they did a two-day pass. So I think I come back from one of the outings in Melbourne full of piss and bad manners and thought, I'll get a couple of these tickets. This will be all right. I'll take my nephew to the Socceroos and a lady friend to the Matildas game. So, yeah, lock that away. Asked a friend of mine to go to the Matildas game, a girl I've known for some time. We have liaised in the past, but I haven't seen her in a bit. So it was all going to be very exciting. She cancelled on like the Thursday. I was like, okay, no bother, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Then tried to give me a ticket away to a host of people. Finally had a taker in a friend of the show and game stalwart up here, Matt Phillips, and then about an hour before I was going to head off to the game, went into my ticket tech wallet to discover I'd only bought one two-day pass for one adult, not two. So feverishly went online. Matt was coming up from the Gold Coast for it. So I got him a ticket and yeah, had to then go about buying two more tickets for the Socceroos game because my nephew was pretty keen to go and I'd already promised him we were going. So to tie that in, Socceroos game coming up on the 22nd. It's a farewell match for the boys before they head off to the World Cup. There's also a return leg in Eden, I think about a week later. Ange Postecoglou doing the business for Celtic really well. If you take this morning's result against Real Madrid out of it, I think they brain Rangers 3-0 or 4-0. There you go. Yeah, has got his Japanese imports absolutely humming up there or over there, and I think they've been well received. So everyone absolutely happily eating humble pie in the Scottish Premier League of like Ange, who, this, that, the other, and just absolute plaudits there at the moment. I think I did mention it late last year. There's talk of him succeeding Guardiola. Potter may be staying put. He could turn up at Chelsea this time next week. Don't know, but he's doing well. Aussie Ange. So that's exciting. And I want to round out Aussie stuff. This is not football related, but I thought it was worth a mention. We had New Zealand out here on a one-day tour, three matches, world number one at the moment. Australia chasing 233 for the win, 5 for 44, if you don't mind. And we turned around and won it, didn't we? Alex Carey, Cameron Green coming to bat. Bingo, bango. James Franco dragged it over the line. So that was very exciting. Yeah, I finished my night last night. Back to you on the studio, Rob.
I'll tell you what.
This is why we call him the Aussie Shakespeare.
Yeah, just that's
bingo,
it.
Bingo, bango, James Franco. You don't get that anywhere else, ladies and gents.
Certainly don't. You certainly don't. I'll tell you what, that.
And Dale is super impressed.
Thank you, mate. Ange Postecoglou is doing his reputation absolutely no harm at all.
He'll take the Brenner job next and be absolutely rubbish.
Harsh.
I'm just going on, just looking at what happened previously, that's all.
That's Rangers, completely different
club. Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah.
That's it. I mean, the way he plays football, like, the way he's gone on moving, like, I watched the highlights. Celtic were all over Real Madrid for the first half, and then they just ran out of puff and Real Madrid, once they scored their first, that was it. But
I think Ivange, anyone who's been around the Aussie football world and seeing what's happened, like you guys have more so than myself, I can see that the guy knows what he's doing. Like, there's no denying that. I'm a firm believer that within sports, people have levels, right? And it would be really interesting to see how he goes in the Premier League. He obviously saw something in those Japanese lads, what he connected with and knew how they'd play, and he knew they'd go well in Scotland. So got them over, and it has obviously worked. If he went to a Premier League club, would that work? Would he have to reinvent himself to be a successful manager? That, for me, would be the biggest question. And then, you know, and if he does it, maybe he does it with the same players, or he's able to reinvent himself, then you go, wow, this guy truly is...
Well, he's done it three times. He's done it three times, though.
But my point...
Went in Japan, got the flag there.
Yeah, yeah, but my point isn't so much about winning... But my point isn't so much about winning stuff. Because
that Japanese team he took would nearly got relegated.
Yeah, relegated. I know that. I know that. What I'm saying is that there's a big jump to Scotland from Japan, and he saw the talent in these players and took him. I'm not mocking the guy whatsoever. Please don't think I'm mocking the guy. You know, he's taken a team from second to first, which is all he had to do. Magnificent. And he's schooled Rangers in the process. Superb. I'm just saying the next jump would be Premier League, and it'll be interesting to see how he would go and what would be his formula to success if he was to make that move.
It would be exactly the same formula that he's used for the last 15 years. Whether it would be successful or not,
that's what I'm saying, because I think the jumps he's made probably haven't been as big as this one potentially could be. That's what I'm getting at. And it'll be really interesting to see how he goes.
But I think the players that he would have would then be Premier League quality players. So I think it's a case of the process is a process. It's not that he's brought a whole heap of different players across each time. The difference would be if he goes to a lower end Premier League side.
This is the sort of what I'm getting at.
the gap between the bottom end of the Premier League and the top end of the Premier League is enormous. Yeah. But I could absolutely see him doing, you know, something along the lines of what Graham Potter's doing.
I was going to say, he's not going to go to, I don't think he goes to a bottom end Premier League side. He is firmly ensconced in the middle of the table side who have visions of progression, and he takes them that way. That's, you know, I'm like I said, I'm not mocking the guy. I'm just
trying to see. Are you got any clubs in mind there, Dale? Maybe some that play in red and blue stripes?
I was going to say, you literally just grabbed
Barcelona.
The famous English Premier League side, Barcelona.
You literally just described Palace there. I mean,
red and blue.
Have I?
We'd be stupid, like, as and when Vieira does go, if he's still around, we'd be stupid not to get him in for a chat.
Oh, he'll be fine, though, sure. Because by the time he comes in, we'll have 100 million in the bank from Elise and Gerhi.
150.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
75 from Gerhi, as discussed.
75 from Elise, it's 150 mil.
There you go.
And Will Rangers will be off the book.
There you go, play on. That's it. And Mateta up front. Awesome.
Boom.
If he can get a tune out of Mateta, then I'll tell you what, mate, the guy is the Messiah.
Build
a
statue.
He's a good football coach. He's a good football coach, Dale. He's not a wizard.
On Mateta, though, that fucking hair is sporting. Set your watch for that. Absolutely on point.
Nice guy. I mean, he offered to take a photo of me and Jack Butland. Nice guy. And he seemed so surprised. And I said, no, you can be in the photo. He was so, what a nice guy.
He's a joy to watch. It dawned on me, I don't know what game it was, the last game or two. Looking at him, I think Ned's described him as a drunk giraffe or something like that, which I don't disagree with. But I was just trying to work out what or who he reminds you of. And he's just Big Mama but up front. Absolute rocks and diamonds. Never know what you're gonna get. Can't take your eyes off him. Pretty good hair.
Can you imagine the two of them in the same squad having training games? where Sacco's marking Mateta.
Be worth the price. Ooh, the admission alone.
Just one thing we haven't mentioned, and I know everyone's got to go get their Wii Spars on. One thing we haven't mentioned, can I just say, how good has Jordan Ayew been this season?
Yes, outstanding, I've done.
Yep,
been great.
Superb. Just chucking it out there. Yeah. And how awful has this new refereeing edict of being more physical been? Because I think it's absolutely awful. I agree there should be more physicality, but they're now letting people just get hacked in two and going, oh yeah, play on. Anyway.
I mean, some of the non-calls for both teams on Saturday was ridiculous.
We nearly got through the whole pod. Nah. Rob had forgotten referees. He hadn't
forgotten.
We were nearly there, and you ruined it for everyone.
Forgotten.
The promised land.
What you can do now, Ned, is do like the dun 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 dun, 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 dun and to be continued.
I mean,
everyone loves a cliffhanger.
Forgotten referees.
Keep it for the next one.
Yeah. Fuck, keep your powder dry, mate.
That powder's never dry.
Do something between now and then.
Do I need to create a little theme song that's just like Rob's referee rants, and we can just like have a little segment where just, you know, as soon as something like that comes up, and we can just pop a little theme tune, can just go on, and then Rob can start going, and the rest of us can go to bed, and then I'll come back and just.
Just this inconsistency.
Come back to the Zoom chat, check at 3:30 a.m. And another thing, back to bed.
Yeah, just the inconsistency that kills me. But and the rubbish. That before I go off on that, because we will be here hours. I mean, I've got a book full of refereeing shite, and that's just from one game. I'd like to say thank you to Dale, Ned and Mikey. Mark always great. I'm off to eat some very unflavoursome food because I can't taste anything. So great. Thank you very much for your time, fellas. Look forward to watching the Man U game at a reasonable hour. I want to wake up. Obviously, I don't watch it live. We all know this. Anything else? Up the Palace.
That's it. Cheers, mate.
Bye, guys.
I'm going to go and hug and kiss my wife. Don't tell her I said that. Maybe a surprise.
That's all okay. Right. We'll pop it on the pod instead.
Yeah.
My wife knows. Doesn't... Somewhere my wife doesn't...
Be, yeah. Somewhere I'll never be heard.
Anyway, been a pleasure, gents. We'll speak soon.
Yeah.
Well played, fellas.
All right.
Well, I'm off to edit Mark's intro out, so I'll...
Yeah. Oh, well, that'll teach you to bend bananas, won't it?